It's here.
Hello?
Have you checked the children? Children.
They're all pods, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Here's Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am Pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
If he can't take a joke, he stinks.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here. Gore readings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a very special Flesh Wound Horror interview edition. We are going to be interviewing Victoria DeMar, who is an absolute Scream Queen legend. Since Werewolf in a Women's Prison, she has been working pretty much nonstop. We will talk to her a little bit about Werewolf in a Women's Prison and the sequels, Dracula in a Women's Prison and Frankenstein in a Women's Prison. We also talked to Victoria a little bit about her new slasher film, Pigster, Hanukkah, which we just recently finished watching and is absolutely awesome. It is one of the last films of Dick Miller, and I know the last film for Sid Haig.
We just reviewed that one yesterday. If you haven't heard, just go back and listen.
We did indeed. And we talk a lot of different things with Victoria. She's lovely and a great interview. Her music career. And we did have some minor technical issues. So
minor? That's underselling.
it is an audio only for her.
Well, yes. Yeah. What I was going to say was,
it'll pop up when it can.
Yeah. Okay. And it's only affects the YouTube viewers. So if you're listening, you're like, it doesn't mean shit to me.
Yes.
And thank you for listening. And thank you for watching.
And thank you for watching. Yes.
And thank you to Victoria.
Absolutely.
Well, do we just want to throw it straight to the interview then?
We will throw it straight to the interview. Producer Todd, do your magic, sir.
All right.
Welcome, everyone, to Flesh Wound Horror. We are here live with Victoria DeMar. Victoria, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. It's great to have you on. I've been a big fan since Werewolf in a Women's Prison. And your early Corman stuff, Dino Croc, Slaughter Studios, the latter of which I really always liked. I thought it was one of the better sort of later New Concord releases from Corman. Yes, you've been very busy since then.
Yes. Yes, that's awesome that you remember Slaughter Studios. That was the final film that we shot at his family. That was fun.
Yes. I remember all the like really cool props they had for that.
were all playing around in different rooms, studios in that studio. So it was kind of cool. You could feel the history as you walked around. It was nostalgic to be there as a fan and as an actor, you know, trying to focus if you have, but like, you know.
Yes, no, I always really enjoyed that one. So you have a lot of new projects coming out, but a lot of people may not realize this. You also do music as well, and you have a new album out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, cool. Fuck You is my new four soul album that's out now. It combines like 9 different genres of music, and it's only like a 12-track album that has a 37-minute running time. So it's a good listen, like while you're rocking out in your car or what have you. But I've been placing a lot of different genres of music in films for the past few years. So I'm not being paid any certain kind of money to be packaged and sold as any one kind of thing. So as an independent artist, I can kind of mix it up and do what I want. And I have a really eclectic taste as an artist. So I've just kind of been combining like whatever genre you want, like whatever song it is. And fans have been responding to it. I've been getting social media messages and emails from fans and saying, hey, I've been playing your new album at work. And I've had colleagues and friends go like, what is this? Who is this? Is this the same person? What are we listening to? Is this Pandora? And people really getting it and like getting into it. So, check it out. It's on all the platforms, you know, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, whatever the hell you listen to, whatever the fuck you listen to.
Yeah.
Well, I love the name. That's yeah. Cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of just like the fuck you kind of came from just the thing of the whole like industry of like honestly, I would, if someone offered me $500,000 deal to sign something that said that they could own most of my stuff and that I obviously own all my own masters and everything of my own right now, but they wanted to package to sell me as one kind of thing that was going to make me zillions of dollars, I would do that. Sure, I would do that, because you could get powerful enough and to a certain high enough level and make enough money to do whatever the fuck you wanted again anyway. It's like kind of you can when you're down here and then they pay you to be this and then you can do what you want again fucking up here. So I would totally do that. But right now as an artist, you know, I'm not being paid to do that. I mean, I'm floored when people contact me now to commission me to write songs for certain movies or little commercials or promos or things like that. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. You know what I mean? To be paid to create this music is incredible or whatever. But like, and the getting together and having the creative process, not being like told like you have to look this certain way or sound this certain way, and all your fucking songs sound the same because you have to sound this certain way and look this certain way because we're selling this certain thing. And that's fine if you're getting zillions of dollars. Obviously, I mean, the mighty dollar is, you know, everybody worships the mighty dollar. We'll get down on their knees for it. They just will. So I will too. But nobody's doing that to me right now. So nobody's offering me that kind of deal and that kind of check. So I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going to put punk rock and I'm going to put jazz and I'm going to put pop and dance and rap and hip hop and fucking country all and fucking like speed metal all in one fucking album.
Because yeah. all that shit is the shit I like, so I'm super excited to check that out. Hell yeah.
Yeah. There's a little hard rock on there. There's a little like straight up rock and roll, like almost like 80s style Mellencamp like rock and roll on there. You know, there's some pop on there, there's some dance on there, there's a little, you know, novelty rap, there's a little bit of everything. There's some acoustic tracks on the new ones of me just, you know, fuck you came from like fuck you industry. I'm independent, so you're not packaging and selling me. I'm packaging and selling myself, because I'm not the kind of artist that's going to start in one genre and crossover. I am the crossover artist. I'm crossover all. Like at my shows, you can go get a beer if you don't like the country tracks and go out and have a smoke and take a piss or something because you don't like these tracks, and you're going to come back for the rock and rock out for those tracks or whatever. Like that's my show or whatever. If you don't like one thing or the other, that's totally fucking fine, because I think that music is, whether you like what speak the language or like what people are saying or not, people can communicate in a global community kind of way through music, whether, you know, because they love the sound of the music or they appreciate the sound of the music, and they're all there because they love the music. So, you know, it really doesn't matter what it is. You might connect to one thing more than the other. But I, you know, my favorite kind of music that I like to zen out to is fucking Beethoven sometimes, you know what I mean? But I also love Disturbed, you know what I mean? Like, I love music. So my music is like that. It's very completely eclectic. It's the same girl in a different mood. Sometimes she's like, I love you. And sometimes she's like, fuck you, die. You know, like that. she feels different things on different days.
Right.
Love it. Love it.
So in addition to your Corman work, you've also, of course, worked for another legend, Charles Band, and created a very iconic character that we've talked about on the show a lot, Batty Boop. How did that come about? Tell us a little bit about your process in creating Batty, who is a resin statue now, which is awesome.
She is. She's a little doll statue, and her tail moves, so she's technically a little action figure, too. You can move her tail around, because she's sassy mm-hmm. with her tail, and I tried to use her tail more throughout the series of the film, because I thought that was so cool, and it was getting lost. It's initially kind of faceted on to be like a thong-like thing going down the center of my tush, but it was so cool, I wanted to use it more, but it was delicately glued to my lower back, so we had to be careful, but it got thicker and longer, and I tried to use it more, so I'm glad that the toy has a predominant tail that actually moves and does stuff, which is cute, which is amazing. I love Batty. I worship Batty. I would do Batty if I had the chance to do Batty. I would do Batty. A lot of people always say about, like, oh, they worship Batty or whatever. Would you fuck Batty Boop? Yes, of course I would fuck Batty Boop. Yes, abso-fucking-lutely. I had the wonderful opportunity of reading the third. They made two films initially. It was like an urban horror film, and then they came back with the second one that Trent Haga took over, because they lost Angel Vargas, kind of disappeared, and he was really wonderful in the first one, and they tried to bring him back. They tried to find Angel for the third one, actually, and not go with Trent, and they couldn't find him, so they went with Trent again, and then John Lithgow came on, and he was writing and directing, and he thought, we have to expand with these characters. We have to bring in a posse. We have to bring in a chick. We got to do something. So he wrote Batty Boop with me in mind. I had worked with Lithgow before, and I read it, and I thought, oh, my God, this is like an opportunity to be something really iconic or to go down in history as the worst actor ever. So that's how this is going to go. So I just went balls out with it. And he was like, I want to go, like, I want to paint you down, like body paint, because I'm an artist. I'm a fine artiste, and I have this degree, and I want to do this painting on you like you're a canvas. And I was like, okay. And I was like, great. So I'm going to be naked, so the rate's going to be good. And and then they Full Moon does such merchandising and stuff. So I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking. Because I knew I had a Killjoy doll. I had an actual Killjoy doll. So I was like, this is going to merchandise. You know, they have two comic books now. I can't believe it. With Batty Boop on the cover. The Doll Man versus Killjoy Kills the Universe Doll Man series. And they have a Killjoy 2 of the... they have two number fours in the series, and both of them are featuring Batty Boop on the cover. And they did two because they did the first one. And some fans were like, well, technically, with her painted down. And some fans were like, well, technically, in the fifth film, her makeup was coming off. So they did an uncensored one with the makeup coming off the boobies, which was hot. It was awesome. So I was like, I'm fucking an action figure in two comic books. I worship this character. And that was really the offer in the final film was, will you do it one more time? We're going to start to merchandise. We're going to do a doll, we're going to do an action figure. The comic books blew me away when Doll Man wanted to do the Batty Boop comic books. That just came out of nowhere. And the t-shirt, of course, because they always do all the t-shirts, and they did the Killjoy t-shirt as the artwork from the third film. The Killjoy goes to Hell was the fourth film, and Killjoy Psycho Circus was the fifth, of course. And they really went more horror comedy with it than the first one. The first Killjoy was really more horror, like urban, like horror, and then it got just really silly. It got stupid. The second one bombed so badly that there was like a 10-year gap before Lithgow came on and said, okay, let me try and rescue this, because that was the Full Moon series that was dying. Killjoy had died out, and there were fans that were going like, oh, when is there gonna, like, when are they gonna have a reboot? So when they did Killjoy the Demon Clown, or Killjoy's Revenge, or Killjoy 3, whatever you want to call it, fans were like, oh shit, this is actually a decent film, and this is cool, and they have all these other characters. So John had just said to me, you know, I want to do this whole thing with this demon succubus, and you know what a succubus is. And I was like, yes. And I was like, that's awesome. And then he's like, do something with the voice, you know, something that's Cockney, or something that's like New York, I don't know, something that's specific, or make something up. He's like, I don't know. He's like, and I want to use your experience as a dancer and a model, and like, so that you move a certain way, you saunter a certain way, you just don't like shuffle around like some lump. And I was like, got it, you know. And like, I was like, we have to be naked. So I was like, fuck, I got to work out. I'm gonna be naked the whole time. I was like, shit. And like the mate, I was like, god damn it. And I was like, oh, and the preparation. And I got, so with something like that, you kind of have to come to work kind of like that. Like, you have to like start the process. And, like, I had to get up at fucking, like, 4 in the morning and stuff, or, like, 3:30 in the morning sometimes, because my call time was a pre-call to work that was 4:45 a.m. So the transportation picked me up at like 4:30 a.m. You know, so I rolled out like Carly could remember, like almost fell asleep in the shower into like the car or whatever. Like, who gets up at that time? Because like to get me ready by like about 10:30, 10:45 in the morning to shoot, they had to get me in there. So it was like the makeup department and me. And I always got like a really nice dressing room because I had to have space because I couldn't take up the makeup room doing that, being in there naked and all the other actors trying to be like, whoa, like, so I was like, they had to come in and do me in my space or whatever. And I just played like, I insisted that everybody had, I was thought everybody was going to get sick of it and be like, shut this off. But I had to play the Natural Born Killer soundtrack from Oliver Stone's film that was produced by Trent Reznor that had a really awesome amount mix of like rock and like hard rock and like speed metal and stuff like that on it. So we had to like, wow, listen to that like every morning at like 5 a.m. That's what I had to like listen to because I couldn't sit down. I had to say the makeup preparation was about five to five and a half hours and I couldn't sit down because then it would be fucked up. And then all those people would be like, what the hell? I have to go back. We haven't even started. So I was, that got me ready to be Batty Boop because I was in rare form as her because it couldn't, if you can't sit down for a while and you can hardly move for like a while, you're ready to like take someone out. So I was, I was in rare form once we got into set or whatever. So I really used that, but she's one of my most favorite characters I've played to date. And I think the fifth film will be the final film, unfortunately, in the series. So,
Well, maybe a spin-off solo.
I would love that. And people talk about that. And I'm like, let's do it. So whomever can raise the budget to do that so that we're not like having a heart attack working like ridiculous amount of hours. Because I worked like literally like 19-hour days doing those films because I shot a 12-hour day and my makeup was 7.5 to 8 hours, just the makeup on top of shooting, working a 12-hour day. So it was like, I got around like 3 hours of sleep at night and I had to be working out because when you have to be naked on camera at all times, like you just psychologically, you want to at least feel like you're making the effort to look good. Like it can become a horrible psychological thing. So, and I wasn't one of those actors like working out at lunch. I was laying down in my dressing room, like I was stuffing my face and then I was just laying down on my yoga mat, like wake me up when I have to get back to it. Like I was not working out on my lunch break.
Well, look good. So, bravo.
So, you have several new projects coming up, but there is one that we actually just got done watching recently, and that is Hanukkah, which I know is Sid Haig's last film, and I think one of, if not Dick the Miller. Last, Dick Miller film as well. We loved it. Tell us a little bit about that. This is a very unique slasher.
It is, and they wanted to go hardcore, like, 80s style slasher, and they really acquired quite a cast. I was brought in kind of at the last minute by Sadie Katz, who was also starred in the film, who was brought in by Felissa Rose, who was one of the producers, and so it was kind of this chain reaction of getting a certain amount of people in. So I was incredibly honored, and it was kind of one of those things where it was like your phone rings at, like, almost midnight. It was like 11:45, 11:50 at night. And you're like, what the, you know, like, who the fuck is that? You know what I mean? Like, if someone's calling at that time, like, it's either bad news or good news. It's either really fucking bad news, like it's an emergency, or it's good news. And it was good news. So it was like, are you working tomorrow? And I was like, actually, I'm fucking not. And I'm really pissed about that. And they're like, what? I got a gig for you if you're available and you're interested. And I was like, what is it? And they sent me a script and read it really quickly. And I was like, I'm totally down. And it just... working with Charles Fleischer was like amazing, especially like when you're working with someone you're such a fan of. And my first day at work was working with him and my scenes with him, which I haven't actually seen the DVD yet, which I have, but that some deleted scenes are on the DVD and Blu-ray and some of the special features, which I want to look to see if they were in there. So we had some other stuff, but actually didn't make the final cut. And I was so fucking nervous, like working with someone that you're a fan of. And like people were all like, don't like, and I had left my bag like in his dressing room where I was like, they were like, you can hang out in there before he gets there or whatever. I was like, okay, I'm going to hang out in Roger Rabbit's dressing room. You know what I mean? And I had like left my purse in there after he got there. And I was like, oh fuck. Like I have to go back in there and get my bag and he's in there or whatever. And I was all just like, excuse me, Mr. Fleischer. And like, kind of like knocking and opening the door or whatever. And he was in there like playing guitar and was like, hi. I was like, come on in. And like, what do you think of this? And was like riffing to me on his guitar. And I was like, wow. And then when we were all done up and like when I saw him again, we were working in the scene work. After the first like take or whatever, he was like, "Wow, you're really good. Wow, that was really good. Wow, yeah." And I was like, "Oh my god," it made me even more nervous. And right. The director was like, "Just keep rolling, just keep going," or whatever. And I was like, "Oh my god, that just came out. I had like an outer body experience. I don't know." And the director was like, Evan was like, "Just keep going, keep rolling on all this. Keep doing," you know. So it was a really great day. So my confidence on that film the first day was like, yes, you know. But it was horrible. They put me through the ringer. They tortured me, you know, in that film. I said, just leave me on the ground in between. You know, I can't come in and out of that. When I'm screaming and rolling around and the leaves and my hair and everything, and they were trying to come out, pick them out. I'm like, leave them in. Yeah, leave them in. They would be in if I was out there in the woods, you know, they would be in. And like, you can see when I'm like laid out and then like I start to like roll up or whatever, like the rolls of the dirt in my body when you'd be like rolling up, sitting up somehow, like or whatever, how that the creases in your body of the dirt would be or whatever. And I was watching that just fucking laughing because I was like, I have a safe word. It's the director's name, Eben. Like if I'm screaming Eben, then Victoria DeMar is not okay. Other than that, I'm Rachel. I'm out. Like, I can't be this, in the bear trap or whatever, and then come out and be like, hey guys, what's up? And like smoke a cigarette and then be like back like that. Like you have, like if when you're living that kind of horror, you have to really live that kind of horror. And like in with like the tub and stuff like that, I was like, drown me. I was like, when like Joe Netter was like drowning me in like the thing or whatever, I was like, just do it. And he was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to kill like an actor. He's like, I don't want to do this, you know. And I was like, just do it. I was like, I'll start kicking the tank. If you hear me kicking the tank, then I'm really drowning. But there's no other way to be drowned and be able to react organically to that than someone actually really holding you under for a second and you going whoa for a second. Yeah. So I was like, just do it. And they were like, they put me in a real bear trap or whatever. I mean, I was like, I went balls out with that fucking role. And I tell you, when it premiered at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood, I sat in the back with Fletcher and just cried. He looked over at me and I looked over and I was just crying or whatever. And he's like, are you crying because this is the worst movie you've ever seen in your life? Or like, and I was like, no, I just, the before, like it worked. I was like, because I was so worried because it was so horrendous. So I was so worried about how that was going to come off or whatever. And like, you could hear a pin drop in the theater. And I was like, oh my God, people either think I'm horrible or they are literally horrified by what they just saw, and that's people's reaction, like a pin drop. So I started screaming, like, fuck yeah! Theater to break the silence, because I was like, oh my god, like, you could hear a pin drop, and like, nobody, like, people were holding their breath in there, or whatever. And then by the time, like, the bear trap stuff hit, I was just crying, and it was the first time ever in, like, 20 years of my career that I've ever watched a performance of my own, and just made myself cry. So I'm really, really, really proud of that film. And I didn't get to work with Sid on his days, or Miller, or Dick Miller, unfortunately, both of whom I was massive, massive fans of. But their days on set, like, they weren't having visitors on their days on set. And, like, I wasn't in those synagogue scenes and the flashback scenes, so I wasn't there. And Sid was fully nude in the film, so he had very specific requirements and stuff like that or whatever, and I was too, but I'm not today, so it was a very intense process of making the film, and that, again, that the assemblage of that group of people, it just, the level of the cast was, I was just so impressed, because I was a fan of so many of those people, and there was never a moment in the film where you're like, oh shit, they sucked, that was bad, where it kind of dipped, and you're like, oh, okay, it's better now. It kind of like it had its moments, and then there would be like they were torturing the shit out of Rachel or like skinning somebody, and then Sadie Katz would come and do something crazy and hilarious, and then you'd laugh. So you'd have a moment of that relief, because other than that, it would have just been too much.
Yeah. Yes, you did some. You suffer in that movie quite a bit. Lots of, pretty much the whole time, lots of horrible things happened to you. Yeah, we loved it. We thought Hanukkah was really, really good. It's kind of amazing that it's taken that long to have that kind of a concept for a slasher movie.
I had a bunch of friends actually attend that premiere. I couldn't make it, but when they got out of there, they were like praising the movie, and it lived up to the hype for me anyway. So
yeah, we were worried. That took a while to make. That was the first time I had ever finished a job and felt like I it's so exhausted that I might have to go to the hospital. And I used to rag on artists who'd be like, oh, I'm going into the hospital for exhaustion. I'm so exhausted. I have to go to the hospital because I just worked so hard on something. And like after that movie, I was like, okay, now I understand. I was like, they were all night suits for me, for my schedule. I was so fucking, I got really dehydrated because I was all like method, like leave me in the tank, leave me in there to drown. You know, like, right. No, I wouldn't be drinking water. I don't want the water. And I was trying to eat lunch with my like severed, like my hands wrapped up, like at lunch or whatever. And they're like, dude, you're going a little far. And I was like, you have to be able to play that or whatever. Like you can't, I don't even think Robert De Niro could switch in and out of that and be all like, yeah, what's up at lunch? I don't think so. I think that you have to kind of stay in that. So I really did. I came out of that and was like, oh my God, I'm dehydrated. I feel like I had to go to the hospital. I was just like crying all the time. And like, I don't know how that came off, like, or whatever. And also like my character had her period. And that was like a joke in the beginning of the film when she's in the car with her boyfriend. And she's the first one who gets abducted behind the gas station place where all the fucking people were, because that's where his torture chamber were, and all these people were driving by and they had no idea. It's right in the back. And so I was all and I didn't have my period at that time, but I insisted. I was like, are you going to be getting that long shot or whatever? Like not like a close up or whatever, but a wide angle of him kind of like going in, because my character had her period. And it was the whole thing where he was like, I don't care. And she was like, okay, well, Flo's in town. So I was like, I was like, Evan, are you going to get this shot? And he was like, whoa. And he turned away and I'm like spreading my legs and I had a tampon in, right? Like a string, right? Because I was like, she would have a tampon with a string, right? And he was like, wow. He's like, you're really into this. And I was like, I do my homework. And I was like, he's like, I don't know if that might be too much to shoot. And I was like, well, you better have the option. And then like the other producers are like, if she's willing to do this, like, get it, man. Get this shot. You know what I mean? She's offering. Like, it was so funny. And then it was, then the whole time was like having the tampon string and I'm doing all these crawling shots or whatever. Like, can you see it? Is it heavy? No, you know, because I was like, that would be because the audience would be horrified. Like, oh my God, that's right. She had her period and he stuck her in the mikveh to clean her up. But she still got her fucking tampon on or whatever. Like, I thought that would just add the extra horror of like, whoa, that's going a little far. And then like the whole time watching the movie, I'm like, can you see it or whatever? Can you see it? And he was really like good about, like, you could see like swing by at one point when I'm like crawling out of the hole or whatever. But he was really good about no close-ups of that. But I was kind of like, I went so far for that. It scenes like, I hope you can see the tampon strings. I went so far. You know, it was like Sid Haig was in the movie and like, I knew he was going to see it. And I wanted him to be like, wow, who's that? You know, like.
Hell yeah.
And I actually also worked with James Balsamo. Was he was a good time on set. Was he,
I love him.
He cracked everybody up. He was one that I had a lot of fun with. So I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know he was in this.
Yeah, he was in that, too. He came in kind of at the last minute, and actually he did a lot of stuff on that film, and he was really a hero on that film and did a lot of different departments and work, and he was great. I mean, we worked together after that in a film called The Rideshare Killer, which is more of a, like, serious, like, drama horror, and that hopefully will be coming out this year or next. Probably next because of the fucking COVID bullshit. But when James came on, they were like, oh, this guy's good. The actor's going to play your boyfriend. Like sometimes you meet actors like that. Hey, and you like meet them, like they're like your boyfriend and sexy, whatever. And you're like, oh, wow, you know, you meet them first day and they're like, here we go. And like, you're like, okay, that's all right. Going to work. And they're like, oh, it's going to be great. You're going to love him or whatever. And then when it was James, when it showed up and he was my boyfriend in Hanukkah, I was like, oh, this is great. This is like our thing. James and I, we always get together and have fake sex together. It's like our thing. Like when we work together, we have to fuck. That's it. That's like in the contract. We have to have fake like sex. He's going down on me or some shit's happening.
And another legend that you just worked with, Clint Howard, who of course we also worship on this show. You have another film out. Yes. If he's in something, it's worth watching, period. It's called Pigster. And it's, is it on VOD yet?
It is on Amazon Prime Video, from what I understand. I believe there will be a DVD, probably not a Blu-ray, available in the future, but right now it can be streamed on Amazon Prime only. So if you're an Amazon Prime member, you're totally hooked up, because that's part of your membership. But if you're not, you're screwed, because you have to sign up for that. But you can get like a 14-day or 7-day like trial, and you can cancel ahead of time. So then thus it's still... would still all be free. You just need like a card or whatever to sign up. But as long as you cancel ahead of time, you could still watch it for free. But I believe that's the only platform it's available on now. But it's, you know, the film's about an hour and 10 minutes. It's really, it's barely a feature. And it's a fun film. Howard's great in it. Robert Dobby's in it also, has a couple scenes. Honestly, some of the best scenes in it are the Rat Girl scenes, and I'm not doing that just to yank my own, like, twat or whatever. I'm just saying that they are, because this movie, like, I'm so happy that this movie has seen the light of day, because it may have never seen the light of day. It wasn't going to see the light of day. And then someone came in and tried to rescue it, and then it died again, but now it's out. So it's good, because a lot of people worked really hard on it. And it is a fun little film. Like, definitely get a six-pack, roll a blunt, do something like that, watch it with friends, because, like, and laugh. Have fun, laugh. It's a fun fucking film. But some of the Rat Girl scenes, because I'm running around as this feral girl, rat girl, half naked and naked and stuff like that. I have to say, it's the perk up moments of the film where you're like, oh, hey, all right. there's some here. Okay. You know, and then the other scenes are like, oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. It's not like Hanukkah where you're like, wow, this is actually a really good movie. Pigster has its moments. And so I would say Rat Girl, the beginning of the film that opens with how Rat Girl is absconded with, and what she's tortured and what's done to her, and how she becomes Rat Girl. And then there's the rest of the film. And then when Rat Girl pops up and she's back and doing her Rat Girl things, you're like, oh, okay, I'm all right. Yes, this is a good part. And then you're in some more of the film or whatever, and then Rat Girl's back. You're right. So it's a little bit of Rat Girl through to the end, which is really cool, with Rat Girl escaping with Pigster. So it's a good film with, it should have been called Pigster and Rat Girl.
And you also just recently worked with Steven Seagal and DMX on a film.
Yes, and Johnny Messner, who's wonderful in the film. It's a really actually good action film. It's actually a really good film. I saw it in the theaters when I played in L.A. with some friends, and I was completely wasted, I have to admit, in the back. I do remember, like, sitting there the whole time going to my friends, like, this is actually, like, a good movie. Like, it's actually, like, we're watching, like, a real movie. Like, this is cool. I'm in it, you know? So, it's good. I'm a Steven Seagal fan, so I couldn't fucking believe it. I couldn't fucking believe when I got the call. And I was even more surprised with the music. I have one of my pop songs in it. That came as a last-minute call, too, where it was like, you have a catalog of your own music that you own, right? Yeah, I need a song that sounds like this, and a jukebox, and a diner scene in the background, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, got you. Sent like 7 songs. And the producer was like, oh. And then like the director was like, wait, I got to listen to all this. And he was like, I think I might want 2 now. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was like this really quick like transaction where like he had this really big person in the song, and then all of a sudden they weren't agreeable, because he had people like people like 50 Cent and 2 Chainz and people like that, like in like with music in this movie on the soundtrack. And I was like, why the fuck are they calling me? And it just happened that the director was cutting like the fucking trailer where I was in the trailer, and was like, that bitch has music, and was like, I bet she'd be agreeable. And I was like, fucking right I am, because they couldn't get the agreement from the other bigger person or whatever. So I got in there. Yes.
Nice.
So it's so fucking cool. So I have 4 credits in the film as actor, and then in the music credits as artist, songwriter, and music publisher. So I'm thrilled. It's huge. So now people are like, you're an actor, so what have you done? It's been like, well, have you seen the new Steven Seagal movie that was out in theaters? Yeah, I'm in it, and one of my songs is in it, bitch. You know, get that as an actor. Like, oh, you're an actor, what have you done? Yeah, for 20 years, I'm like, well, they probably haven't seen We're from a Women's Prison.
They should. That's like, an awesome movie.
They've seen, you know, like something they may have heard of or seen.
Yeah, it was interesting because there was on Werewolf in a Women's Prison, because there was a long break in between, and then you had Dracula in a Women's Prison and Frankenstein in a Women's Prison. What took so long?
Amazon Prime right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you want to see that.
They are actually.
What took so long in between to get those made? Because I know I was a huge fan of Werewolf in a Women's Prison. I think it was one of the early films I reviewed way back in the day.
I loved that film, and I loved making that film with Jeff Lee. Jeff Lee Ray and Vincent Bellancio and I really made those films. And Nick Melillo came in to produce and say, yeah, you can use my studio to do this mayhem. And then it was so much fun. He has like a cameo in the first one because he wanted to be in it because it was so ridiculous. And it became like a cult-like film. Like, people like knew of this fucking film. Like, I was literally out in a bar one time in Hollywood next to the fucking jukebox in this fucking dive fucking hole. And it had just played at Quentin Tarantino's fucking movie theater in Hollywood, his big Beverly theater or whatever. And he loved it and wanted to play. They played the trailers for Night of the Lepus and all this fucking classic 70s shit and treated it like a 70s style like screening. And it was awesome. And it was after that, not that same night, but it was like after that had happened. And I was literally like standing next to the bar where this guy was like, I just saw this screening of this film. Like, I don't know, like, where you can get it, but I saw, have you ever been in the Beverly Theater? Yeah, it was, okay, it was like this werewolf, and he was like, it was really funny, and he was talking about it. I was like, oh my God, and I turned around the jukebox, and I was like, what did you think of the werewolf? What did you think of the lead? And the guy was like, holy shit, like, what are the chances of that? And I was like, I know, right? All of a sudden, I heard you talking about this movie, and there was a paycheck that you would think would never even, like, come out, like, it paid the rent, thank God, that month or whatever, but, like, you would never think anybody would ever even fucking see that or whatever, and someone's talking about it. So it got some legs, and whenever I do appearances, it's the DVD that sells out, and fans come up either with their sleeve, like, oh my God, thank God you're here to sign this, or oh my God, thank God, a copy I can buy where you can sign. And I already have it at home, but a copy you can sign, I'm buying another one. So people love that film. The only reason there was so much time in between, because Vincent and Jeff and I couldn't, like, with the script, they couldn't agree. It was going to be, like, Girl Scouts in a women's prison, and then, like, Asian, like, schoolgirls in a women's prison, and then, like, and Sarah was somehow going to be get mixed up in, like, trying to escape from Campuna, and, with Sarah not dying, and then, like, somehow she didn't, and then but she keeps getting stuck in these campgrounds with these different groups she keeps running into. We couldn't agree on that. And then it got to the point where Nick was like, I'm selling my studio. So if you're going to make these motherfuckers, you better do it now. So then it was like, okay, let's stick to the Universal Monsters. We'll go Dracula and we'll go Frankenstein. And then the Chago jumped in there and said, well, we got to do the four Universal monsters all together and do the Mummy. And we got to have Victoria do come back as the fucking Mummy, and that would be the bookend to the four fucking series. And we never did that because then Nick and him couldn't agree or whatever. So we banged out Dracula and Frankenstein at the same time, which I thought Jeff thinks that they can't compare to the originals. Well, usually an original is an original. It does, nothing does. But these were kind of like homage, like sequels or whatever. And I thought that they really were the perfect follow-ups to what the original was, because you would never get anything close to it. And Jeff was just like, it's not as good. It's not as funny. It's not as authentic. But you never get that. So you can just kind of homage and do the best you can. And it had the same vibe and energy. And all the actors kind of got it. And it kind of, I think, were the perfect two films. And I would love to do The Mummy, but I don't think we'll ever get there.
It was interesting. It seems like she doesn't work anymore, but what was it like working with Phoebe Dollar, who was somebody that I knew from forever ago? And I don't see her anymore. I was hoping maybe she'd pop up.
She's a sweetheart. She, you know, she got married and had a baby and was like, got really into like a family life. And she was like Jeff Leroy's like muse for like a long time in a lot of his early pictures and stuff, and a lot of brain damage films, early brain damage films and whatnot. She was great. I loved working with her. It's hard not to laugh. Like, we just look at each other and laugh. We didn't have a lot of scenes together in Werewolf, but we did in Jeff Leroy's Psychon Invaders, which I think is like up on fucking YouTube somewhere or whatever, which is a real fun film. I really had the best time working with her on that. But she doesn't really work anymore. She kind of she does some cameos and she'll pop up or whatever. She still comes to events. You'll see her at like events. She'll pop up at screenings and stuff like that. And she'll still do some conventions and stuff. But she doesn't really work anymore, which is unfortunate.
Yes, no, that's too bad. I was kind of expecting her maybe to pop up as a different character in Dracula or Frankenstein. But we watched those as well just recently, and we really enjoyed
them. Awesome.
Is there any release info on those yet? I know they're streaming, but any news on a physical release?
You know, I had a serious argument with the producer about how they were handling that when we finished the films initially, and they were starting with, they were just going to do video on demand and streaming. And I thought, I said, look, guys, I got to speak up and say people who watch these films are collectors. They want a DVD or Blu-ray copy. They want, because initially when we were doing the films, I was like, this is going to be the best merchandising ever. I'm going to do press everywhere for this because we're going to do like a box set, right? We're going to do like a trilogy. Like we're going to release this as a box set. And they were like, yeah, you know, and I was like, fuck yeah. And then we got to that point. I'm like, we're going to do the box set, right? And they were like, yeah, we're not going to do the box set. And I was like, what? You guys are idiots. Okay. So how are we going to handle the physical release? And then they were like, we're not going to do a physical release. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are idiots. What are you fucking doing? I was like, this is the audience. And then I was like, well, I was like, I was going to do press for this or whatever. I was like, well, how am I going to do press for this? You can stream it, you know, like not this, like something like this. People are like, where can I get it? So then Girls and Corpses magazine jumped in because the editor in chief was Robert Ryan, who played Dracula, and was like, oh no, fuck that. There's going to be a physical release of Dracula. So there is a physical release available, I believe, on girlsandcorpsesmagazine.com maybe, or Amazon or something. Someone said they bought one on eBay, on Facebook. But there is a physical copy of Dracula out. Now, some distributor came out of nowhere and approached Melillo and said, I have to do a physical release of Dracula, of Frankenstein. And he goes, okay. So he licensed him the rights. So there is a physical release coming out of the final film, Frankenstein, hopefully this year. I don't know, COVID has fucked up a lot of things, but we already did a lot of DVD special edition, like, and Blu-ray, because they're going to do a Blu-ray of Frankenstein as well. And we did a bunch of, like, special feature stuff for it and interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff. So I don't know when that release is, but I believe the Frankenstein is actually only on Blu-ray, and the Dracula is only on DVD, but you might only be able to get the Dracula DVD through that magazine, because that man was like, oh, hell no, I'm going to do my own release of it. So he got the license from the owner, of course, Nick. And I don't know what happened with Nick. He was just kind of like, I'm selling my studio, I don't want to do this anymore. But it's just like, that's like, you work so hard, you spend so much money making a film, and then you go, oh, okay, well, I don't want to do this anymore. It's like, you didn't finish it. It's like, you're having sex, and then you go, okay, that was good. Then you get up before you come. Like, well, you gotta finish. what are you doing? Like, you got to finish. Like, you have to finish with this movie. You have to package it, you have to sell it, you have to distribute it. You don't just get up and walk away. You haven't come yet. Like, what are we doing? Like, look at all the people, look at all the money you spent. Like, look at all the people who work so hard on that movie. Like, what are you doing? So, our relationship went awry for quite some time, but we're all friends again. And now, I'm really thrilled about the Blu-ray for Frankenstein, but you know, the fact that I tried to do this thing and make this guy who was a hero with saving Frankenstein, of having some kind of physical something coming up to be available to do the box set, to do what we had originally talked about. And, I just couldn't get him to agree to do that. But he agreed to do, he was already on board and the deal was done for the Blu-ray. So there won't be a trilogy available, but at least a collector will be able to have a physical copy of each film.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Werewolf's been out of print too. I know that's one that a lot of people look for, and it's a great, great film.
You can still get it through me. You can still get it through me and my website. Oh, yes.
Do you want to plug your website?
Yeah, victoriadamar.com. There's all kinds of info, photos, music, merchandise, press, all kinds of goodies on there. So yeah, you can still get Werewolf through my site.
Awesome, awesome. And we highly recommend that. We've covered that before. That's a great film. And too bad there isn't a box set, but I do recommend the other films as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I also just want to throw out there, you also have a small part in one of my favorite sex comedies, Sexbot.
Yeah. There's a couple fun. I had a couple fun scenes in that film. Again, I think like on the special features, like I still have the package DVD that has the 3D glasses in it because I don't want to disrupt the package and open it because it has the glasses. but I did watch the film on like the Sci-Fi Channel or some bullshit. It was like because it was an asylum film or whatever, even though it's not sci-fi at all. But that was a fun film.
I'll do you one better with that. I have the German Blu-ray that you can watch on a 3D TV. So
that's awesome. That's even better, man. So you're a collector. I'm a collector. I have so much shit that, like, I've already seen the films. When I get them, I leave them packaged because they might have something cool in it like that, or even, like, little promotional stuff or whatever. Like, I'm a super collector, so that's awesome. That's so cool, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything lined up after COVID? Any like projects you're looking forward to get done possibly? Or
yes, thank you. Like I had a fun film that I shot in the beginning of the year called The Podcast Ripper, which is real because podcast shows have become so popular. So it was this really, really hilarious film that we shot, which is in post now. I'm sure they're taking their time because it hit. We were able to finish production before the coronavirus ruined the world. It'll hopefully come out this year or next. But I literally have like four films stacked up. They keep moving back their production dates because Los Angeles County doesn't apparently officially fully reopen until July 4th. So they've only possibly potentially reopened in some places. Some businesses are open. The studios, the big studios, are supposed to starting to get some employees back to work after the Memorial Day holiday slowly for some TV productions to go back to work like in July and whatnot to be ready for the full reopen. But people are really taking it slow. It really it hit me really hard. It really ruined my life because I'm, as a freelance artist, I'm working all the time. Like I've worked four jobs in the past like 9 weeks when usually I work like 4 to 5 different jobs like a week. So it hit me pretty hard. I was able to do like 2 modeling gigs and a remote gig on a web series, which I failed miserably because I'm not a cinematographer. Like I'm in front of the camera, you know, like I'm not behind the camera. Like don't put Victoria behind the camera. Like just don't go there. Like I don't light well. My camera is just no good. Keep me in front. And so that failed miserably. But I was really grateful for the job. And they were like, we're going to try and salvage this. And I think they were just trying to be like really nice or whatever. And then one job, like meditation recurring gig that I have, like this DVD series, like right as it like hit or whatever, they were shutting it down. And we had a really small group. I think we had like less than 10 people that day. There was like 6 or 7 of us. And the director was like, we're still shooting. The producer was like, we paid for the day. We're still shooting. And that was in the very beginning. But that was like it. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to work. I had one really big TV show booking on the table. So we're going to see how that goes when they're able to get back to work. I've kind of been in some communication about that. That would be really awesome. And a couple of recording sessions to get back into the recording studio. A couple films that I was commissioned to write that I was being paid to create that I've created up to the point where I have to get into the studio now. And there's nothing I can do about that. So I'm really, really very much looking forward to getting back to work. I've dedicated my life to my work because I love it so much. I love movies and music. Like, movies and music are my life. So I have to get back to work.
Absolutely. We hope you get to soon. And thank you so much for joining us, Victoria. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to checking out your music. That's the next thing I'm going to do right after we're done.
Yeah, I would highly recommend Fuck You. A lot of people say that Fuck You is the best of the four. They're all really eclectic. If you do like a lot of hard rock and more like speed metal, hard rock, or more of those tracks on my third album, which is Hashtag Twat. I always have really weird titles. So when they're That's on fucking YouTube, awesome. You can check out Hashtag Twat and Fuck You. They're both on YouTube, you know, where you can stream it for free or whatever and check it out and listen to it. But there's some good hard rock tracks on punk rock tracks on Fuck You as well. So if you like that, more of that kind of music, check it out.
Well, good. Thanks again for joining us. And
thank you.
We hope to interview you again, hopefully, when you're able to get back to work and update us on your projects.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I'm on all social media, so stay connected.
Yes, sure. For sure.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That was Victoria DeMar. We want to thank her for coming on. Always awesome. And we will definitely be having Victoria back on the show once she's able to get back to work and all this craziness ends. And she'll talk more about all these iconic characters she creates that we love so much. So I also want to say thank you to our patrons for supporting us at patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. For exclusive and uncensored content. We've got a lot of great shows in the can, and we're shooting more every day. So be sure, it only starts at $1. So there's a lot of really inexpensive perks for becoming a patron, and we very much appreciate that. For YouTube listeners, you can find us on YouTube at Flesh Wound Features. And be sure to like and subscribe. We're still brand new to YouTube. We are YouTube virgins. So hit that like button, subscribe. We appreciate it very much. Help us grow on YouTube. And also, if you're on Facebook, be sure to join the Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio group. And be sure to like the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. All of this helps us, again, very, very much. We appreciate it. And nothing but love for you guys who do that for us. And also fleshwoundfeatures.com. I think that's all the shameless promotion I've got. We will see you back here next week. Good night, guys.
Good night. Adios.